You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello, one and all. A warm welcome along to the Punt podcast ahead of the Premier League this Easter weekend. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner in situ in the studio in Leeds, joined on the line by Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin, two stalwarts of the Punt podcast. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to you, Derek McGovern.
Good morning, Mr. Kellner. Another great weekend ahead this weekend, and I'm looking forward to Tottenham closing the gap further still on Chelsea this weekend. I still my prediction a few weeks ago that this title race is not over. It will bear fruit this weekend.
We shall see. Tom, Derek's been saying that for the last couple of weeks, and following that stumble against Palace, Chelsea have won back-to-back games. It's not going to happen, is it? Chelsea are going to romp to the title, aren't they, Tom?
Completely, yeah. It's no way is it going to happen, and so much so that it's not going to happen. At last week, I want to hold my hands up just at the start of the podcast and apologise for backing West Brom. You know, like when a player says, "Don't change your mind." You know, when you're running up to take a penalty, set your mind on it. Chelsea both teams to score, but you two, you know, in your distrust of West Brom, led me somehow to believe that they were going to get a win. I should have stuck with Chelsea and stuck to my gun, but. You know, Tottenham are going to, I would say, push them, but they won't close that gap too much. Chelsea will win it by 5 points.
The anthem of the losing punter there. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Hey, unlike Arsene Wenger, at least I own up. My errors.
Let's start with Spurs this week because they're at home to Bournemouth in the first of the televised games. Spurs 1-4 to win this match. The draw 5-1. Bournemouth 10-1. Saturday 12:30. Enhanced odds offers. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 21-20. That's been enhanced to 6-5. And Benik Afobe to score and Bournemouth to win was 18-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1. Tom, we spoke about Spurs' brilliant home record last week. They've now won 11 straight Premier League games at White Hart Lane, and they taught Watford a lesson, winning that game 4-0 without coming out of second gear last weekend. And Harry Kane to come back into the lineup as well. He got half an hour against Watford last week. And the brilliant thing about Spurs this season is, even when they've had injuries, they've got strength in depth now. Kieran Trippier's come in for Danny Rose, and we've talked in detail about Heung-min Son and how he's been influential at times for Spurs this season as well. So everything looks good for Tottenham going forward.
I think that's what comes from, you know, having just a fantastic manager, and he is one of the best. Pochettino, because, you know, their recruitment actually hasn't been sensational under him, but some of the players and the mentality of the ones that come in has been brilliant. And, you know, when Harry Kane suffered that injury, that's the big question. Well, Tottenham are going to fade away. They might face a battle to just even be in the top four. But they've kept going because I think there's such a team mentality there that even without someone like Harry Kane, has got a great sort of approach to the game himself. You know, the players have been stepping up and Tottenham have just been irresistible. I mean, they've been fantastic. In any other season, you know, that they've been pushing the team at the top very, very close. But unfortunately for them, you know, Chelsea keep winning, but they keep putting the pressure on. That's all they can do. And at home, they're brilliant. And the thing for Tottenham this year, from maybe last year, is they're adding more and more goals to their game. And they've got that kind of killer instinct now. I mean, you know, their record last season was sensational, but they're ruthless and they really bury a team. And I've been so impressed when I've watched Tottenham this season in how quick they start matches. And they're going to do exactly the same in this one. They're at home, 7 wins in a row. They've scored 24 goals in that run. They've only conceded 4. And they're up against a Bournemouth side who are flaky at best on their travels. 1 win in 10 away from home. They've conceded 23 goals in those 10 matches. So I just think that Tottenham will be licking their lips at the prospects of this one because I don't know what Bournemouth's approach is anymore to these away games. They used to, you know, have incredible pace on the counter-attack and they cause problems. But Tottenham don't even let you do that. They're that good, you know, as far as the shape is concerned, in possession and taking their chances and creating chances. They get you under the cosh early on. So I've looked really goals in this one. I think Tottenham will try and get the game buried probably in the first half, and I think that they're more than likely to do so. And they win this with a margin. How big that margin is, I suppose, depends on what you think about Bournemouth and Tottenham with Harry Kane coming back. But six of their last 10 have been won by at least two goals. So I've got to go for something similar again. You know, Tottenham minus a goal, look, it's 4-6. But Tottenham minus 2 at 7-8-10 is where I'm going to head here, Dave, because I just think it's going to be par scorelines now for Tottenham at home against these kind of teams, a 3-4-0, and I think they'll do the same.
Spurs to win half-time, full-time as well on the double result market, available at 7-10. One bet that could be of interest in the enhanced odds markets as well, Harry Kane to score and Spurs to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0. That was 19-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1, which looks good. Harry Kane actually didn't feature in the reverse fixture, and that's the only time this season that Spurs have failed to score in a league game. That game ended 0-0 at Bournemouth earlier on in the season. How do you see this one, Derek?
I tread warily with Kane. I know we got half an hour last week, but that was a bad injury he had. I'd like to see, you know, before I start piling on him, money on him to score, I'd like to see the evidence that he's back to full fitness. And in his absence, I mean, that Heung-min Son has been unbelievable, hasn't he? I mean, where's he come from? He was, you know, you see him on Tottenham's live games, and he always seems to do, you know, he seems to reserve his best performances for those live TV games. In fact, it's where Aha got their song from, "The Sun Always Shines on TV." Boom, boom! I've been dying to get that in all season. You know, I look at this fixture, and Bournemouth, you look where Bournemouth are, and they're pretty much safe from relegation. I know they're not mathematically safe, but they ain't going to be pulled in now. So, you know, they've got nothing to lose. Well, my money's on their next six games because I just don't see them trying a leg between now and the end of the season. Job done for them. They're playing against a Tottenham team who are expected to beat them and will beat them. You know, it's almost a day off this for Bournemouth. What I would say, though, I mean, Tottenham are 1-4. Historically, you know, he'd be Dragons territory, isn't it? I mean, it's a different Tottenham now, I know, but still, the betting instinct is, oh, God, a little bit short that. But there's a big difference between Tottenham at 1-4 and Tottenham at 8-5 to win with both teams scoring. That's a massive difference, that, just for Bournemouth to get on the score sheet. And let's not forget they've scored against both Chelsea and Man City in recent games. So that's where my money's going. Tottenham to win, both teams to score, 8-5.
On to Southampton versus Manchester City, which is 5:30 on Saturday evening. And Southampton are 17-5 to win this match. The draw 14-5 with Manchester City in the betting at 3-4. The enhanced odds, Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 7-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. And Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win was 6-4. That's been enhanced to 13-8. And Manchester City got back on track against Hull at the Etihad last weekend. But they've been a little bit leaky defensively, Derek. Both teams have scored in their last five matches. And this has been an entertaining fixture recently as well. They've actually been 12 goals in their last three meetings between the two clubs. And Southampton beat Man City 4-2. In the corresponding fixture last season. I know you continually say on this podcast, Derek, that Southampton are underpriced.
Yeah.
Are they overpriced this weekend?
Yeah, they are. Because, you know, the price like this, because they really should be on the beach now, shouldn't they, Southampton? In fact, you know, they should be putting their luggage in the overhead locker because there's nothing for them at stake here, and there's everything at stake for City, who are still, you know, not sure of a top four place, and that's factored into the prices, of course. But, you know, there's nothing at stake in Southampton's last two games, and they've beaten two, you know, resolute teams now. Palace, who were in the middle of a great run, and away at West Brom, which scuppered their Tom Zaha. Did we mention that? Like, it's our treble last week because of Tom. Have we mentioned that already? No. I struggle to work out. Well, I don't know. It's like your odds compiler just thought, we've made a mistake every week here with Southampton, making too short. And it's all stored up. And the lump in Southampton are 4-1 here. And, you know, giving people like me a real temptation. I'm going to go for them because the thing about City, yeah, you know, on their day, they're fantastic. But I've seen so many howling performances from City this season. You know, you wonder, you know, at their best, they are absolutely fantastic. At their worst, they're absolutely horrid. And I'm going to take a chance on 4-1 Southampton here. I just think maybe it's the mentality of their manager, Claude Puel, that's stopping the players take their foot off the gas. He's getting the best out of everybody under his guidance at the moment. Nathan Redmond, for instance, being called up into the England squad, who'd have tipped that a couple of seasons ago. So, yeah, I think Southampton are overpriced for the first time probably in the history of the human race.
Southampton are in the market at 17-5. That's Derek's pick for the game. If you're a fan of quirky stats here, this one comes from Opta. Sergio Aguero has scored in 11 successive Premier League games in the month of April, 14 goals in total, and he's already got three, or he scored in all three Premier League games in April 2017 so far. Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win. Mention that at 13-8. Tom, your view on Southampton, Man City?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Southampton are in that bracket of teams that I'd looked at a few weeks ago and I did last week. And, you know, I think, well, you know, where are they at and where is the motivation? I also, you know, we've talked about the League Cup defeat as well, sort of the hammering them and really sort of ending their season. But those wins against West Brom and Palace were particularly impressive. You could look at the Palace one and think, well, they put all their energy in that victory over Chelsea a few days earlier. But Southampton have a tough run in now. And I always feel with Southampton, they kind of relish the opportunity of playing against teams like Man City. I think they've got Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and Manchester United still to play. They concede a lot of goals at home, which will give Man City, you know, quite a bit of hope. And they conceded in four of the last six. And five of their last six home matches have landed over 2.5 goals. To throw that in with what you were talking about, Dave, about, you know, this fixture producing goals, I think that's the way it's going to go. I mean, three quarters of Manchester City's away games this season have landed over 2.5 goals. And their away form is so patchy, Man City, that the value is definitely with Southampton. I can't bat Man City away from home with any faith whatsoever this season. I mean, I think they'd have to be playing somebody with far less threats than Southampton have, and they still have a few threats that I think will fancy their chances against City. But I'm going to go for goals here. I'm not 100%. I mean, if City turn it on, they could win the game. You could look pretty foolish looking at Southampton, but the price is definitely there for the Saints. I'm simply going to play goals, and over 3.5 goals at 7-4 for me just looks brilliant. You know, I mean, Man City, as Derek said, they have to win. Southampton will go for it in front of their own fans, and I think it'll be wide open. Certainly, both teams to score is an absolute banker in this one.
That's Southampton versus Manchester City. On to West Brom versus Liverpool, which is on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. West Brom Liverpool, and West Brom are 16-5 to win it. The draw 11-4 with Liverpool in the betting at 4-5. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 19-10. And that's been enhanced to 9-4. Since West Brom's win against Arsenal, they've lost 2 and drawn 1, and they've failed to score in those three games as well. They go up against, Tom, a Liverpool side here that are keeping the pressure on Manchester City and Manchester United. I think the lack of strength in depth Liverpool have was exposed to a certain extent last week against Stoke. They were completely dominated in the first half, but brought on both Philippe Coutinho and Roberto Firmino at half-time, and that did the trick, Tom, in the end.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, that. I mean, you know, they obviously weren't fit enough to start the match, but of course they needed them in the end. And, you know, I look at Liverpool, I look at the way they kind of swarmed around Stoke. In the end, you know, I thought they comfortably deserved the victory, how they got it. It was probably a little bit closer than their fans or Jurgen Klopp would have wanted. But ultimately, they're a team that sort of buzz and swarm around teams like Stoke. Actually, I look at Stoke and I look at West Brom, and for me, they're pretty similar in my mind. You know, they're functional, they can be a real threat, set piece and everything else. And kind of where the strengths and weaknesses are of both teams, I think it's pretty similar. And I think we could kind of see a similar kind of match. I mean, West Brom now, for all intents and purposes, there's a lot of great stories in the Premier League. At one stage, we were looking at what Tony Pulis had done and thinking, this is unbelievable, because they were threatening even the top six at one stage. But, you know, the last couple of games for me, their matches I would have expected them to win. Well, I certainly did last week. And, you know, away at Watford, I expected them to get something. I think Liverpool will win this game. I think it'll be pretty comfortable in the end for them. But I think we could have some nervy moments. And certainly, again, this is a bit like Chelsea at the moment. How you can look at Liverpool at 4-5 and ignore Liverpool and both teams to score at 3-1. I mean, if you think Liverpool are going to win the game, and I do think they'll win it because I can't trust West Brom, you've got to look at the both teams to score, because West Brom are strong exactly where Liverpool are vulnerable. As I say, set pieces, corner kicks, and Liverpool are strong where West Brom aren't in terms of movement around their penalty. They're great when it's all in front of them, but it's too much sort of dynamic movement from Liverpool. So I think this is, again, a game that is set for quite a few goals, and definitely both teams have got on the score sheet. But I think Liverpool will come out on top.
That's 3-1 Liverpool to win and both teams to score in the game. Derek, is it impossible to back West Brom at the moment or not? I'm just looking at these prices and getting towards, sort of moving towards 7-2, 4-1 West Brom.
Well, they're very backable at that price, specifically for the reason Tom mentioned there at the end there. You know, set pieces. I mean, you get a corner or a set piece against Liverpool these days and you pretty much scored. In fact, you know, the one opponent early in the season tore his shirt off and twirled it above his head when he won a corner against them. the ref got it to the halfway line to save time. I mean, they're the set-piece kings of the Premier League, West Brom. 18 goals from set plays this season, more than any other team in the top flight. Liverpool concede virtually more than anybody else. I mean, they're just so weak on it. So it's impossible to see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet. You know, if they win, it ain't going to be to nil. And so, yeah, you know, if you want to back Liverpool, don't back them at 4-5. You know, back them to win with both teams scoring. But the Liverpool price at 4-5 is pretty much the same as it is both teams to score. And I think that's the safest bet. We know exactly how this game's going to be played in the air, isn't it? I mean, you know, Tony Pulis fancies his chances against most opponents in an aerial confrontation. In fact, friendly behind closed doors this week, they drew 2-2 with the Luftwaffe. That's exactly what he'll be doing against Liverpool. Any free kick will be sawed into the box and they will score. I mean, I wouldn't put anybody off back in West Brom, even though they shouldn't win, even though they should have nothing to play for. They're one of those teams that you look at and you think, well, they must be in the relegation zone. And then you look at the league table and there's something like 8th. And yeah. They've been in common with Arsenal, I think. I can't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet, basically. It's will they score enough to win? 4-5 has given nothing away from Liverpool for Liverpool. I couldn't back that. But both teams to score, that's the professional bet here.
Both teams to score for Derek in West Brom versus Liverpool. On to Manchester United versus Chelsea, which is a Sunday 4 p.m. And Manchester United are 6-4 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with Chelsea in the market at 15-8. Enhanced odds, Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 14-5, enhanced to 100-30. And Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win 16-5, enhanced to 7-2. Derek, Manchester United's best route into the Champions League is definitely through the Europa League now. And I'm certain Mourinho knows that as well. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Jose Mourinho fields a weak starting 11 on Sunday. We know he's a pragmatist. They've got a big game coming up midweek against Anderlecht. And he wouldn't want to subject his best and most influential players to what will be a grueling encounter against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's a good point. That I think before you have a serious bet on this one, you're going to have to look at the team sheet because that could happen. The only reservation I have about that theory is that Mourinho and Conte are not best buddies, are they? They hate each other. And so I'm not sure when we would want to give Chelsea a gimme, particularly as his love affair with Chelsea is all but over now, isn't it? It's, you know, the Chelsea fans have turned on him, it seems. And the Man United fans soon will do, I think, the way they're playing. I mean, as for Conte, I mean, he's done everything right, hasn't he, in the Premier League. But all he does to me is troll a touchline looking like a recently escaped lunatic. You wouldn't want to come up against him in a dark night. There's something scary about him. But they have been great. And what about, hold on a second, before we go on about this, Diego Pudding Costa. How bad has he been in the last couple of months? If he fired in a transfer request this summer, it would go wide. That's how bad he's been. I told you, I've never been wrong about a player in my life. I've never been wrong. And I always told you long, long time ago he was a pudding. And a pudding he remains.
Hang on one second, Derek, just to counteract that. I'm sure you've said in the past that N'Golo Kante and that position, that's a glorified central defender. He's 1-8 to be player of the year, Kante.
It's the most ridiculous price of all. How can he be player of the season above Eden Hazard? Turn it in. Chelsea would be nowhere without Hazard. I can fill Kante's position, run around, put a few tackles in, pass it to Hazard. I could do that. You could do that. I'm not sure Tom could, but you and I could, Dave. Not having it at all. As for this game, I don't know. You know what? Kante will go there and be thinking, right, Tottenham will probably have won beforehand and that will close the gap to 4 points, won't it? Now, he won't need to win. He won't need to win the following day. He'll just need to draw. Avoid defeat against Man United. And I will say that the title is Chelsea's. And that's where, he's an Italian. A draw away from home in an Italian books is heaven. And that's what will happen. They'll go to Man United and draw. Mm-hmm. Man United, I don't think, will be that worried because of what's happening in midweek. So, yeah, the draw looks nailed on to me in this one.
11-5, the draw for Derek. I must admit, Tom, I'm attracted to that 15-8 for Chelsea to win this game. I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, and probably Kante to score a hat trick, maybe. I don't know.
Diego Costa's going to get on the score sheet this weekend.
I don't think I play like Kante, but I've been called the Kante a few times. It sounded similar to that. But for starters on him, I mean, there's a reason why Leicester, I mean, are where they've been for a lot of the season, and Chelsea have turned it around this season. It's not solely down to him, but he's a major factor. And I look at this, I think Mourinho will probably, I mean, he's got an excuse to field a weakened side because of the Europa League tie, but also it gives him a get-out, doesn't it, an excuse, because he knows he's Manchester United side. Whatever you think about Chelsea, Manchester United are miles away from where Chelsea are. Defensively, going forward, they're four or five players away from being where they are. And Conte knows that. He will, you know, the pragmatic approach is right. And I think there's a few away games this season against the big teams where I've backed Chelsea to draw, because I think that is the general approach. Throw into the fact that Manchester United, of course, I mean, the draws they've had at home, five of the last six at home have been draws. Hull, Bournemouth, West Brom, Everton and Liverpool have all drawn there. So everything is kind of pointing that way. But I've just got a feeling that those Chelsea players would love nothing more, with they've got no midweek distractions, than going to Old Trafford and turning it on and going there and winning the game and really sort of rubbing it into Mourinho's face, because they have done already this season. I know the cup game at Stamford Bridge is a little bit different, but they absolutely demolished them at Stamford Bridge in the league. I'm not suggesting it might be, you know, similar sort of scoreline or similar gap, but I think Chelsea, no question, they can win the game. It's been a bet. We've obviously followed a few times, but Chelsea and both teams have scored at 5-1. It's a huge price. I think that probably says a lot about Manchester, about how the traders probably think this is going to be an incredibly cagey game and sort of defences on top. But I can't see it being that way. I mean, Chelsea at the moment are leaky. Manchester United are going to have to score to get a result. I've no doubts about that. And the over 2.5 at 5-4 is pretty decent. Both teams to score 19-20. But I'm going to go for Chelsea here. And I'm going to go for Chelsea to turn it on a little bit. On the handicap here, minus a goal Chelsea is 5-1. I think that is whopping, considering what Chelsea are capable of doing, the team that Manchester United will probably pick, and the fact that Chelsea, I think, would love nothing more than rub Mourinho's face in it. So 5-1, I'm going Chelsea minus a goal.
Very good. That's Manchester United versus Chelsea. The last of the televised games this weekend is Middlesbrough versus Arsenal, and it's 8 p.m. on Monday. And Middlesbrough are 11-2 to win the game. The draw 16-5. Arsenal are 1-2. Enhanced odds: Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 17-2. And now 10-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 13-10. That's been enhanced to 6-4. For that Middlesbrough enhancement, Tom, it should just be anyone to score and Middlesbrough to win. Well, 17-2, now 10-1, because Borough, we said on the podcast last week that game against Burnley, if you'd have played that game a month ago, it was a nailed on 0-0. Ended up 0-0 anyway. And I think Middlesbrough, I think the players and the management team thought that was a good result because they showed no ambition in the game. And I was astounded by how they played. Both of you, by the way, put up the draw, so good shouts last week on that Middlesbrough-Burnley game. But I don't know what to make of this fixture, because Arsenal have lost four straight away from home as well.
I'm exactly the same as you there. I look at this fixture and there's too much sort of conflicting sides to it, really. Steve Agnew, I think he's shown us a little bit of inexperience, really. You know, he took the handbrake off against Hull and they ended up on the reverse of a 4-2 defeat. And he's tightened things back up for the two home matches they've had recently. The home game against Burnley, the trip to Swansea. The trip to Swansea, the 0-0, that was probably a decent result. But if they're going to stay up, they had to beat a team like Burnley. And they've got to make more of their home games. They've got Sunderland coming up at the Riverside. They've got Man City coming at home. So this has got to be an opportunity for them. Having said that, they don't score goals. Now, last Monday night, we looked at Arsenal against Crystal Palace and thought Palace were, you know, nearly 4-1. Way too good a chance of because they've got players that could hurt Arsenal, and fired up. Selhurst Park has been rocking. They've been winning games. There's momentum. Everything was with them. I just don't have that feeling about Middlesbrough. But then I look at Arsenal and you think, well, what is going on there? I mean, Theo Walcott's post-match interview on Monday was a disgrace. He was talking like he wasn't playing. He was captaining the team. And he was talking like a pundit in the studio going, yeah, there was no fire, there was no desire. I was like, well, yeah, we know that, Theo. We watch you play in a team that were absolutely abject. I thought they were so bad. It's unbelievable. And I can't even back them maybe turning it around even for this kind of match. I think they'll probably win it, Arsenal, without even trying. Because I think even if they don't put in any effort, they're going to score a goal because there's just too many still good players in that team. There are still you know, some very good players. So I'm not so sure. There's one side of it where I think, well, it's going to be a draw and it suits neither side. And it's 16-5. It's playable. But I think Middlesbrough in last chance saloon, they've got to go for it. And I think if they do, like they did against Hull, they're going to come unstuck. So I've thought about this a number of different ways. My only conclusion that I've come to here is over 2.5 goals at 4-6. Just to cover me, if Arsenal turn on, they could win 3-0, no problem. Middlesbrough could end up winning, but they will concede against Arsenal at some point. So it's the only bet I'm coming to a natural conclusion. I'm not particularly joyful about it or, you know, shouting it from the rooftops, but I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals at 4-6. Just, you know, Arsenal could collapse, Middlesbrough could win. Arsenal could just steamroll them. We could end up with a scoring draw. I'm just got no idea. But 4-6 or the draw if you wanted to push me on an outright.
I was just thinking under 2.5 at 11-10 looks good here. So I've got no idea about this game, Derek.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those fixtures that you look at and I know that no matter what I tip here or what I back, I will end up looking silly. I will, no matter what I want to go for. I mean, this happens about 8 times every weekend, funnily enough. One saving grace is that I won't look as silly as Arsene Wenger, who made Theo Walcott his captain. Now, that sentence alone tells you what's wrong with Arsenal and what's wrong with Wenger. What's Theo Walcott? Does he lead by example? What does he lead by? It was a disgraceful decision by Wenger and followed by a disgraceful performance by Arsenal at Palace the other night. And, you know, I've said all season that the worst performances I've seen this season have come chiefly from Watford. Well, that was the worst of the lot from Arsenal. They went 1-0 down, 2-0 down, never looked like pulling back into the game, never looked like wanting to. And, you know, he's got to go. You know, I mean, how could he? All this talk about a two-year deal still on the table for Wenger. Who's offering him this deal? Tottenham. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I wouldn't surprise me if over the summer Arsenal appoint Sam Allardyce as manager because he's good at saving clubs from relegation. I mean, that's how bad they are. That, you know, if they continue playing like that next season, Jesus, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. They're an absolute disgrace. And I noticed that Jamie Carragher said on TV that there's something wrong with this club from top to bottom. And he's dead right. But we were saying that months ago. Why is it only, you know, why are all these so-called pundits only woken up to that fact now? What does it boil down to in this game? I've got no idea. All I will know is that 1-2 Arsenal away from home, the way they're playing. You've got to be kidding. Yep. I'm going to go for Middlesbrough. I'm going to give them a chance because, you know, the players aren't playing for Arsenal. Why not back a team that's 11-2 against them who are fighting for their lives? Why not? I know that I take on board that they can't score, but come on, I think he'll only need one goal and Arsenal will crumble. So I'm going to go for 11-2 Middlesbrough.
On to the non-televised games this weekend, Saturday 3 p.m. and Crystal Palace versus Leicester first up. Palace are 4-5, the draw 13-5, Leicester 7-2. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 21-10, now 9-4. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 6-1, now 7-1. Derek, Craig Shakespeare made a couple of changes for the game with Everton last weekend before that midweek clash with Atletico Madrid, and they were beaten 4-2. It's reasonable to expect something similar, but I reckon it could be even more pronounced this week. 1-0 loss in Madrid, by no means irretrievable. There's little to gain here for Shakespeare. To put out a strong side would be suicide, really.
Yeah, and they've got defensive problems as well, haven't they? You know, I think Wes Morgan's still injured, and even if he was fit, he wouldn't be risked because he's facing a fitness battle for next week. I can't see them trying a leg. They're safe now in the league. I can't imagine this being the greatest game. Just 3 points cover seven teams between 10th and 16th in the Premier League. I noticed today the word useless also covers them. By the way, I've got to go for Palace because, you know, I wanted them to go down when Hippo Head took over, purely because Hippo Head took over. But there was a sneaking suspicion that
even when, you know, when he lost three of his first four games, I think it was, you thought, well, the players he's got there, I mean, I could take over that club and keep them up. And sure enough, they're playing like, you know, their reputation warrants. They're playing well now, Palace. They've got good players there. You know, obviously Leicester have, because they won the league last season, but Palace have got good players who've got it all to, you know, who are still playing. Leicester, I think, in the league are giving it up now. They're safe. They've only got it. They've only got the Champions League on their mind, and rightly so. I've got to go for Palace here.
Crystal Palace, Derek's pick at 4-5. They are on a good run of form, playing really well, won five of their last six, and they did, as we've mentioned, absolutely annihilate Arsenal on Monday night, winning that game 3-0. He's got his team playing now, Tom, and Wilfred Zaha as well is looking like the player he's always threatened to be.
Well, he is, yeah, and you know, it's just taken him a long, long time, hasn't it, to prove that he can do it, but he has only done it over a short period of time. I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk on Monday night. Obviously, a lot of the reaction was about Arsenal and how bad they had played. But, you know, Palace were getting their fair share of praise as well, because they did play well. You know, and they had to. But they've got players that will threaten and hurt most Premier League teams. I'd just hold back Palace fans on the Andros Townsend for England shouts again, because that didn't take long for that one to sort of come back. Just, you know, I mean, you know, these players are fleeting players. The players that have proved it over their careers, that they do it in fits and bursts. They don't do it consistently, which is why they're at a club like Crystal Palace. So when they're hot, they're very hot, as they were under Pardew for that run. Do you remember, you know, at away from home, they were winning every week and everyone was flying. And when Palace are in a good vein of form as they are right now, you have to be backing them. And I would back them against most teams, particularly at Sellers Park. I still think, you know, watching that game on Monday, I know they were 3-0 up against a, you know, a London rival, but the atmosphere at Sellers Park is probably as good as any ground in the Premier League, because there's nothing artificial about it. It's the old ground. And Leicester are going to make loads of changes. I mean, Chris has been made five changes before. He's likely to make a similar sort of amount. Well, they're all focused on the Champions League. So a bit similar scenario to Manchester United. They're up against a form side in Crystal Palace, and I can't look past that. I would say as well, you know, what Sam Allardyce is doing, I mean, he does get into players, doesn't he? Zaha's playing well. Punchin, he's made captain. You know, Townsend is a threat. But Benteke also, you know, Benteke, I know he didn't score on Monday, but he's looking more and more like the player who was, of course, flying for Aston Villa a few years ago. So I like 9-4 here for Benteke to score in a Palace win. So that's going to be my selection.
Crystal Palace to win the game 4-5. The draw 13-5 with Leicester in the betting at 7-2. Let's move on to Watford versus Swansea. Watford are 7-5 to win this game. The draw 11-5. Swansea are 2-1. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 7-2. And Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 4-1. That's now 5-1. Tom, Swansea's need is obviously much greater. But I thought when looking at the prices, that was reflected to a certain extent. Anyone who's listened to the podcast before will know my disdain towards this Watford team. Maybe a little bit unjustified. But I watched them again last Saturday and the defending was embarrassing, admittedly against a very impressive Spurs side coming forward. Prior to that, they'd won at home against West Brom and Sunderland. And Swansea haven't won a game since beating Burnley back at the beginning of March. Not much to choose between them as far as the prices are concerned here, Tom.
No, and I didn't expect anything other than a pretty close market between these two sides, because, as you say there, you know, the form has been doing. I mean, Swansea, you know, they had that kind of uplift. Now, all of a sudden, they're looking in real danger, aren't they? Five games without a win, four defeats. And, you know, and away from home, they've been pretty woeful all season. They score goals, Swansea, generally away from home. But more often than not, they've lost, I think, 12 or 15. And they've got a really poor defensive record on the road. And they're up against the Watford side who, you know, I think they're, you know, when it's on for them and when they've got a team that they fancy beating, I think before the match, if they think they're going to win, they win the game. I know they had that win at Arsenal, but that's probably not saying much given what Arsenal have done since then. But, you know, it's the kind of match where I'm just unsure about Watford. I can't predict what they're going to do. I mean, those wins were pretty good against Sunderland and West Brom. I know Sunderland haven't been playing well, but, you know, they're still a little bit resilient there. And they had to get over the line. They did. And the West Brom win, maybe it says more about West Brom, because the other defeats that they've had have been pretty limp. They've got Swansea and Hull coming up of Watford. And they're two kind of, I mean, they're not going down, but they're two kind of important games, I think, just for the manager's point of view. And I don't think the players are particularly behind him, because they've got Liverpool, Everton, Manchester City, Leicester all to play. At home, they've been solid enough. They've won 3 out of 5. And they've only lost 2 of the last 9 games at home. And that might just be worth thinking about
when you're looking at the markets here. But it is tight, it is close. I've got no faith in Watford. I've not got a huge amount of faith in Swansea. So, again, I'm going to look towards the goals here. And I'm going to play both teams to score at 8-11. I know it's short, but Swansea away from home concede and score, but aren't getting results. I think they're doomed at the moment. And Watford, I've got no faith, can't back them. So I'm going to play the both teams to score at 8-11.
Both to score 8-11, Watford versus Swansea. This is a damning statistic if you think that Swansea have a chance of survival here as well. They've conceded 67 goals this season, which is the joint seventh highest by a side after 32 games of a Premier League season. All 14 teams that have conceded 64 or more after 32 games in a Premier League season have been relegated. And Swansea at the moment, Derek, in the relegation zone, and they show really no signs of climbing out of it.
No. Who makes those stats? I mean, who thought, I'll find that out. And how did he find it out? I mean, it just amazes me when they come up with this stuff. I mean, this is the kind of fixture you make you long for the close season, doesn't it? Oh, God. It's absolutely awful. Now, Swansea got that, as Tom says, he got that uplift when the new manager come in, but it seems like he woke up one morning and realised, oh, we are crap. And since then, they've been playing like that. I can't go for them, but I couldn't back Watford because, you know, as bad as Swansea have been, I don't think they've ever turned in performances as bad as some of those I've seen from Watford. And I'm talking of as recently as last Saturday. I can't go for Watford. If there's going to be a winner, it's going to be Swansea in my eyes. I mean, they look more likely scorers than Watford do. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals here at around about 9-4, 12-5. I've got a sneaky feeling that this is going to be a 0-0 or a 0-1.
Under 1.5 goals for Derek in that clash. Everton versus Burnley next. And Everton are 4-9 to win at Goodison. The draw is 100-30 with Burnley in the betting at 13-2. Keep chipping away, Burnley. Derek away from home. 4 points away now after a goalless draw at Middlesbrough last weekend. Everton have been on fire at Goodison this calendar year. They've scored 26 goals in 7 Premier League games in 2017 at Goodison. That's one more than they managed in 18 Premier League home games in 2016. So going well at home, Everton, Derek.
Yeah, they are. They're not making any mistakes. I mean, even when they're not playing well, generally, Everton, their record at Goodison is always impressive. You know, they beat teams as they're supposed to. You know, and they polished off Leicester last week. Well, difficult to back against them, isn't it, at Goodison, in the form they're in? Especially since Burnley were up against them, and you know what they're like away from home. I said last week, you know, that zero in the Burnley away wins column, it just keeps, you know, chuckling at me because so many times I've gone for them at big prices. They're big prices again here, but I just can't see how they're going to win an in-form Everton when they've failed at, you know, the likes of Middlesbrough and Swansea and Watford and rubbish like that. It just seems like an Everton win for me, this. And I can see Everton winning without Burnley scoring. So rather than back Everton at the long odds on, Everton to win 2-0.
Everton to win 2-0, 5-4 here with William Hill. Everton to win without conceding. Tom?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'd be heading here. I mean, you know, Burnley, I mean, I don't know about it. There's so many teams. I mean, this is when we look at the Premier League, and we've talked about a lot of them already today. You know, they're kind of drifting a little bit. Their achievements, their objectives for the season are done. So with 5-6 games to go, you know, it's two ways of looking at it, isn't it? Is it a free go, and will Sean Dyche suddenly start trying different things and maybe give it a go? Or are they on the beach? Is that the oldest cliche alive? And you know, with Burnley, they've kind of done what they were meant to do, and nothing's going to really change. The problem for Burnley, unlike, say, a Swansea away from home, we've also struggled on their travels, Burnley don't score goals, and they've really struggled, you know, in scoring goals of late. That was as golden an opportunity for them to get their first away win of the season at Middlesbrough as they're going to have now this season. And this one does not present a good opportunity for them. Everton have been absolutely ruthless at home. I mean, 26 goals scored in the 7 wins that they've had on the spin. Burnley, well, they lost 12 of 16, you know, away games. You know, unable to beat the likes of Sunderland, Hull and Borough on their travels. I mean, I know Hull's an exception because they've been doing well. So for Everton, there's absolutely no chance. And they're up against Lukaku. Once he got 12 goals in 6 home games, he is a man at Goodison Park that is simply unplayable. So it's got to be an Everton win. Again, the win to nil looks great. Everton -2, 16-5. They won't concede here. Ashley Williams is meant to be back for them as well, which only strengthens the defence. So Everton will win comfortably. You're looking at 3-0 I would suspect. So, you know, the minus one, the minus two, I'm going to play the minus two at 16-5.
Yeah, Lukaku to score and Everton to win, by the way, not on monster price at 11-10, but it should land on Saturday afternoon. Sunderland versus West Ham, penultimate game on the schedule. Sunderland 21-10 to win the game. The draw 12-5, West Ham 5-4. Enhanced odds, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 17-5, now 4-1. Andre Ayew to score and West Ham to win was 16-5. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Tom, West Ham's 1-0 win against Swansea last weekend pretty much assured their survival. And that gives me a little bit of cause for concern at this price. If you're thinking about backing West Ham at 5-4 as they make the trip to the Stadium of Light.
Yeah, I understand that there because, you know, West Ham's price here is pretty short. I know they're playing against Sunderland, but West Ham have been on an awful, awful run up until that victory. And it was a narrow victory against Swansea at home. You know, all those defeats, you know, they've scored a few goals, but they've not exactly been playing well. I can't believe one win would make them a short price here. And look, the reason is because they're going to be against Sunderland side now, who, to all intents and purposes, are absolutely down. And, you know, West Ham, when the pressure's off, have tended to perform. The pressure's kind of built up with Slaven Bilic this season. It built up at the start of the season. It built up right before Christmas, and then they went on that run, which kind of pulled them clear. And it's built up again, and one win kind of releases the pressure valve, and all of a sudden, you know, West Ham might be able to start to play. Away from home, though, is where I'd look for the positives, you know, if you want to back West Ham, because away from home, generally, they've done all right. I know they've not won a vast amount of games. I think it's sort of three of their last eight, but they can score. And the problem for Sunderland at the moment is the goals are dried up. I mean, you know, we'd always look at Sunderland, wouldn't we, during the season and think, well, they've got a chance because of Jermaine Defoe. He's not scoring goals. They're not creating chances for him. Sunderland are absolutely dead and buried, and I think West Ham will take advantage of that. I mean, West Ham, you know, earlier this season, they went on that little run just at the end of January. You know, they went to Middlesbrough, went to Hampton, put in decent performances. And as I say, they rarely don't score away from home. Only in that defeat against Arsenal is the only time this calendar year away from home that they failed to score. If they score one goal in this game, they win it. So I'm going to back West Ham to win the game because Sunderland are doomed.
This stat comes from Opta as well. It's a good one. On Saturday, it'll be over 3 months since Sunderland scored at home in the Premier League. Last home goal came on January the 14th. And they've actually had 51 successive shots without scoring at the Stadium of Light. Derek, you'd think they'd fluke one in those 51, but they've not.
I know. In fact, I read somewhere that the last goal Sunderland scored was from Ian Porterfield in the 73 Cup final. I don't know. That surely can't be right. I mean, they're down, aren't they? You might say, well, you look at this and West Ham probably sealed survival last week. And will they be at it? Well, I think they're going to be more likely to be at it than Sunderland, who gave up the ghost, it seems to me, you know, a few weeks ago. And in the manager, they haven't got someone who's going to lift them, have they? I mean, he's hardly a motivated David Moyes. He looks more like the kind of guy who makes you feel like your dog has just died. I mean, how you appoint him, you know, after his track record at United and then more recently with old sociopath. I mean, he's an absolute, he's just a terrible appointment. He's given steery-eyed Scots a bad name, David Moyes. That's how bad he is. I think West Ham are certainties here. Yeah, I looked at this fixture and I thought, God, I'm going to be back in West Ham here. And I must admit, the odds were a little bit more cramped than I expected. But with good reason, they're absolute certainties in my eyes. I think the shackles will be lifted. Now, West Ham, let's not forget, you know, we talk about them going down after that terrible run. I think it was five successive defeats. But you looked at the players they had and you thought, well, they ain't going to go down. It's a bit like Palace, I suppose, when Hippo Head took over. You thought, well, they're not going to go down. And they've got too many good players. And I'm struggling to think of one in the Sunderland lineup who comes under that category. West Ham are certainties.
5-4, the Hammers for Derek. And we finished the weekend with Stoke versus Hull. And Stoke are even money to win this game. The draw 12-5. Hull 14-5. Enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 5-2, now 11-4. Umar Niasse to score and Hull to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. How can you call this one, Derek? I mean, a month ago, you'd have been licking your chops getting even money Stoke at home to Hull. But Hull have worked their way out of the relegation zone, won three of the last five. But admittedly, those wins have come at the KCOM, and away from home, their form still reads, played 16, 1-1, drawn 2, which is almost as bad as Burnley.
Yeah, it's incredible, but you know, that you still you have to take your hat off to what the manager's done there with, you know, taking over a threadbare squad that looked as though they're going to be stuck at the bottom of the league all season long and losing two of his best players, and yet still they're sitting 17th now. You know, they're longing for the season to end right now. We mentioned that West Ham was, you know, sealed survival last week. Right. Well, we should be saying that Stoke is safe as well because they're on the same number of points as West Ham. And yet it seems to me that they're not. The way they're playing at the moment, Stoke, you know... Okay, they dominated Liverpool in the first half, but they were playing against pretty much a Bugsy Malone 11 that Liverpool fielded in that first half. You know, and they got mulled in the second half. There's something not quite right about Stoke at the moment. If Hull were to win this game, they'd only be 3 points behind them. You know, whether that would you say that brings Stoke into it or it makes Hull safe, I don't know. It depends on which way you read it. All I'm saying is that at the moment, you can't back Stoke with any kind of confidence, even at evens against a team that's been in relegation trouble all season. And I'm going to give Hull a go here. I think they're playing with a little bit of confidence. And okay, I know away from home, that confidence probably dips a fair, you know, 50%. But they're not playing a great side here. They're not playing a side that's full of confidence. I'm going to give Hull a chance at these prices.
14-5 Hull, Derek's pick. Tom?
Yeah, I would go pro Hull here as well. I mean, again, Stoke are in that bracket. There's a few teams, isn't there? We talked about them. But you know, where are they at this season? They've lost games. They can argue they've had some tough matches. They're not playing with that kind of fluency. And we've got to remember this season with Stoke is, you know, they had that awful start. We knew they were going to pull out of it. But they actually relied on Peter Crouch, you know, coming in from the Colts. He went on that scoring run. They actually pushed themselves. I know they were never really in a relegation battle, but it did get them into a pretty comfortable position. Since then, they've lost their way a little bit. They've got some flaky players going forward for me. And, you know, I think that will have really hurt them. Much as the last week's result will have given Liverpool a huge boost. I think it will really dampen sort of Stoke spirits. And Hull's away record, of course, is poor. But this is an opportunity for them. There's no question about it. I think it could easily end up in a draw. And I definitely think both teams getting on the score sheet is something to look at because still Hull, particularly away from home, they're a completely different animal and they do concede goals. But I'd be quite happy to take. I'm gonna play them on the draw no bet here at 2-1, just to cover myself, a little bit of insurance there, but I'm not interested in backing Stoke, and you know, I want to be backing a team Hull who can produce a result, there's no question.
Hull draw no bet is Tom's pick. That brings us to the Naps chaps. Who wants to lead us off? Derek, do you fancy a first bite this weekend?
No, I think I've had first dibs too often. Give Tom a go.
Okay, Tom, you lead us off.
Do you know what? I'm going big here because I think that Manchester United are going to play a weakened side, and I think Chelsea, the wonderful Chelsea, Derek, the best team in the land, are going to run riot. So I had 5-1 on Chelsea minus one. It's too big for me. That's what I'm backing. 5-1.
I like Chelsea as well this week. Chelsea minus one, 5-1. Derek, your selection?
Slim pickings this week, I would suggest. I'm going to go for West Ham 5-4 at Sunderland.
At West Ham 5-4 at Sunderland. I'm going to go for. I like Everton this week and buy a pretty decent scoreline against Burnley. So I will take Everton minus two against Burnley this weekend. That's 16-5. So the treble is Chelsea minus one at 5-1, West Ham at 5-4, Everton minus two at 16-5, 55.7-1. The treble. Do play it as a Trixie as well. That would have landed last weekend with a couple of winners from the three selections. Tom, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Derek, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened to the Punt Podcast. Make sure you check out all the betting at williamhill.com. Subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, and you can check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.